Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Kirk Martin, America's Calm Coach and founder of Celebrate Calm. It is Sunday morning, February 20th at 8 a.m. here in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's having a good weekend. Just wanted to let you know I may have to bug out of here kind of quickly, maybe a little bit early this morning. I'm going to meet Casey down at church, and then we're actually taking off right from there to head to North Carolina for a conference. But really, really thrilled. I woke up excited this morning to share a lot of good things with everyone. I came downstairs. Casey was wide awake and had that look in his eyes. And I looked at my wife and I said, "You're going to be glad when we're gone in 2 hours, aren't you? Because he apparently started off the morning with a little bit of coffee. So he was he's ready to go. Anyway, couple quick things. Just because this is, this isn't just about our kids. It's about us and how we live life and the rhythm of our lives. And just something I imagine many of you struggle with. If you are wired like I am and you're pretty high intensity, a lot of anxiety naturally, kind of a type A person, really likes to go hard. We got home from a trip on Friday afternoon, immediately had to jump in to do a bunch of stuff just to get ready for this upcoming trip. And I was all ready. I was like, Saturday, I'm going to get up. I'm going to do some writing. I'm going to work on newsletters, curriculum for next week. Then I'm going to go work out. Then I'm going to come home. I'll do the radio show. You know, I had the whole day planned out. And I just forget sometimes the rhythm of my own life and body. And it's usually when I get back from a trip the first day. I'm still kind of wired from the trip, but it's the second day, which is yesterday, where I just collapse and I have nothing. And so I got up morning, wrote, did curriculum, went, did a really good hard workout, got home, getting ready to do the radio thing, and I had nothing. And so I went and I took a nap because I like taking care of myself. I woke up from the nap. I had promised my wife that I would cook and that I'd grill out because it was a little bit warmer yesterday and we were doing these little steak kebab thingies. And I'm learning really to enjoy cooking. And I'm not good at it yet. It's just something I never did a lot of. But I just didn't have it, and I was there. And I did it anyway, but then it was like 9 o'clock last night. I'm like, I've got to do this radio thing because we're going out of town, and I can't do it on the road very well. And I said, you know what, I just have to say no. And so part of being calm, part of getting back control of your life, it's a big skill to have, and many of us struggle with it, is just saying no sometimes. I'm not going to do it. I'm not pushing myself. So last night I said no. I got a book that I'm reading, and I sat, I read, I went to bed at a decent time, and I said if I wake up and I have enough time, I'll make the time, and we'll do the radio thing. So learn to do that for yourself. I woke this morning. I am completely refreshed. I am fired up and wound up, and so hopefully that'll make the radio show kind of fun. So here's the first question. Let's go ahead and get into this. I've got about 15 things on my list this morning. Get an email from a really great lady in Charlotte. And she says, you know, we just took our son to get tested, and it came back with all these different diagnoses of attention deficit disorder and auditory processing issues and three other things, and might have a little bit of Asperger's mixed in. And she's like, I just don't know what to do. I feel so overwhelmed. And I totally understand that feeling. Now, her husband, which was really great, husband said, you know what, honey, it's the same kid that we've known all along. We've known he struggled in certain areas, but just because he has some labels attached to him doesn't mean that it's a different kid all of a sudden and we don't start treating him in different ways. It just gives us some insight. And so I want to ask you this question. It was in the newsletter a few weeks ago, and we're all over this in the Courageous Parenting thing, which is this. How are you going to, and what are you going to allow to define your child? Who defines who your child is? What defines what your child is? And too often we allow our child's weaknesses, their struggles, and everything, kind of all the negativity to define who our kids are, who our kids are. And I just ask you, do this little exercise. You know, do you introduce yourself to people in this way? Oh, you know what, my name is Kirk, and, you know, I'm not really good at cooking, not very stylish, you know, trigonometry is not my thing. Don't even get me started on physics or chemistry. You know, I can't really fix the carburetor in my car. I don't know how to build a deck. Kind of struggle in social skills with big groups. I don't like lots of noise, that's for sure. I can't add very well in my head. You know, I'm not good at really remembering things. Sometimes things get jumbled in my head. You know, do you introduce yourself according to all the things you can't do? Of course not. That's not how I'm going to introduce myself to someone. We always introduce people, and we should always live our lives according to our gifts, our talents, our passions, our strengths. And it doesn't mean we don't recognize, and that's part of celebrate calm, celebrate whatever the label is you want to put on it. We don't ignore it. I don't act as if our kids don't have some struggles. In fact, if you come to the workshop, one of the charts that we have on there is a list of about 25 things that our kids struggle with. Well, the reason that I want to identify those is that I can help mitigate some of those so I can deal with those. But the focus of my life cannot be trying to fix everything that's wrong with myself, everything that's wrong with my kids. 80% of my time better be spent on identifying my gifts, talents, and passions, cultivating those gifts, talents, and passions. I mean, it's one very distinct thing that we've done different maybe from other people in society, and it's why we call it courageous parenting, is we decided at one point many, many years ago when Casey was really struggling in the school system and we had many, many authorities tell us, you know, he's never going to be successful in this area. He's always going to have to be on this medication. He's always going to have to really struggle in these areas. And I'm not sure he's ever going to be able to go to college or be really successful. And we said, no, I am not allowing those things to define who my son is. I'm not spending his childhood, 90% of it, trying to fix everything. Because the truth is, everything doesn't have to be fixed. Now, there's some things that we do work on, but you kind of see in my life, there's certain things that aren't worth my time learning how to do. Now, I'm not naturally good at cooking, but that's a skill I can learn, and I am, and I want to, because that helps my wife out, and because I'm finding some satisfaction in overcoming some of my skill deficits. But I would encourage you to start swinging that pendulum back and rebalancing your life so that you're spending much more time playing to your kids' strengths than you are just fixing things. Now, one other thing this mom was concerned with was social skills. And you will notice we deal with this almost every week on the radio show, because almost nothing causes more anxiety in our parents than social skills. I want my child to fit in. I want him to have friends. Well, here's the difficulty with social skills with many of our kids. They are old souls. They're often very advanced intellectually. They have great talks with adults. They can charm adults. I met kids at workshops this past week in Indianapolis and Louisville who came right up to me, shook my hand. We had great conversations, and I looked at them, and the kids walked away, and I talked to the parents, and I said, that's an amazing kid. He's going to be great in the adult world, but I bet he doesn't have many friends. Why? Because they're smarter than other kids their own age. They have more depth. They're old souls. They want to talk about bigger, larger things. And in our society, we treat our kids, our model of education is based largely on a factory model where everything is produced in a factory according to what, the expiration date. In our schools, and not a indictment, it's just the way that it is, all kids go through school with kids the same age. If you're a 9-year-old boy, you have one option for making friends in school, and that is other 9-year-old boys and girls. Well, they tend to do well with older kids. Our kids tend to do better with younger children and animals, and so it makes it difficult to connect. So don't worry so much about the social skills. Try to pair kids in class. Ask the teacher to do this according to their talents, their skills, their common interests. There's always one or two kids in class who are just like your son or your daughter, or who are at church like that, or someone in your community. Get them involved building Lego sets. Get them involved with service projects. Invite that kid from class over to your house and get your kids involved in some kind of project together. Especially for boys and men, we work really well together and make friends when we're doing things together. So don't worry, Mom, don't worry so much about the social skills thing. For a large part of that, that's your anxiety. And throughout this morning, I think we're going to come back to the theme. So much of this has nothing to do with our kids, and it has everything to do with our own anxiety. If you come to the workshop, I will show you very, very clearly that 85% of our power struggles come from our own anxiety as parents. And so that's why I love this program. I don't get tired of it. I believe in March. We're gone from March 22nd to the 26th. I have not counted the number of workshops because we've begun doing morning workshops at school and then afternoon or evening workshops. So I have no idea, but I can guarantee you when March 26th comes around, I'll be tired, but I will not be tired of talking about this because it is liberating to know I can only control one person in life, and that is me. I can't control situations all the time. I can't control weather, traffic, the economy, politicians. I can't control what other people do. I can't control what my kids do. I can't control my spouse's reaction. When I do, that causes issues and power struggles. When I control myself and I model behavior, I begin to change people around me. It is so powerful. It is simple, but it is difficult. This concept is simple. It makes sense to you. In the course of doing it, that's where we stumble, because many of us are struggling and fighting 30, 40 years worth of being control freaks, of controlling other people, of having all this anxiety, of acting just like our moms and our dads did. And that's why it takes extra help. And that's why I'm doing this morning, to give you a little bit extra encouragement to do this. It's why we have the Facebook page, because every day I can remind you with a tip or a strategy how to make this work. It is why one of the questions on today's thing is, today's question list is about the CDs. And it's the reason we mention the CDs and we're excited about the CDs is because if you saw it from my perspective, we get at least 100 emails a week, if not more. Sometimes on Tuesdays or Thursdays when the newsletter goes out, we get over 100 emails a day. I try to answer as many as I can. But what you will see is a common pattern over the years of people struggling. And we notice there's one common denominator among the people who make significant progress. And it's those people who have invested their time and put the hard work into it of going through Anxiety Calm Boot Camp, who listen to the CDs daily, who burn it onto their iPods, and the first thing they hear in the morning is, you control yourself, not other people. Here's how you get your kids moving in the morning. And when you start listening to this every single day, it changes your life. And so we get two sets of emails. The ones of, man, I'm really struggling. I want it to be different. And it's I separated from my kids now and my spouse and our relationship is just strained. And then the other set is, This is amazing. In 1 week, we've made these changes. Over the last year, we're an entirely different family. And I know there's a common denominator. It's we need help breaking these patterns. So that's why we get so excited talking about the different resources we have. So it's cool to change lives. It's just, honestly, that's what we do this for. So, okay, let's dig into this one. Teenagers. Teenagers with video games. Teenagers with attitudes. I'm going to go ahead and address this in kind of one little segment here. I want to give you some insight into teenagers and not, you know, younger kids with video games. For one, you have the right to say no. If your child is playing video games hours and hours a day, that is not their fault. That is because you have not said no, because you didn't want to put up with the big fight and the tantrum, and it doesn't have to be. But some of us, you just need to say, here are the rules of the home. Here's how it works. You get X number of minutes after you complete your chores, whatever guidelines you want to put down. But you have to put guidelines. If you don't put guidelines, of course they're going to play video games all day long. We all need guidelines, and we all need that order and structure. So by all means, start there. But let me challenge you with something else. With your teenager, when you say no to video games, TV, texting, all the other things, what are you going to say yes to? What are you saying yes to? And I would encourage you, and we'll get to this in a few minutes, say yes to spending time with that child. Say yes to forming a connection with your teenager, because that's really important. And what are we going to say yes to? And here's what I mean. Here's where I want to go a little deeper. If you truly want your kids to get off video games the right way, and by the right way, I mean this. I want my son to make the decision that video games aren't all that appealing to him and that there are other things that are more appealing to him. I have the right to make my child stop playing video games. I do. I can do that. I can rule my home with a lead fist. I am a dictator in my home if I choose to be. My wife can choose to be that way, but I choose to do it a different way. I want my kids to make good decisions. I want them to have ownership, because then I'm getting true ownership from the child. I'm teaching them to problem solve. I'm teaching them to make decisions instead of me just making all the decisions for them. Does it take longer? In some ways, and at first, yes. On the back end, once you teach your kids to make good choices, is so much less stress. I just don't have to do as much of that with Casey anymore, because he has learned to make good decisions, and I've learned to put it in his court, and I've taught and modeled it. So I tell you, put the time in up front. You can really enjoy the teenage years. But here's where I'm going with this. If you know our curriculum, you know that we focus not on controlling and changing outward behavior, but by proactively meeting kids' internal needs. There's a need for order, structure, and consistency. There are sensory needs. If I proactively meet those needs, then a lot of these negative behaviors we see go away. Well, the other need is there's a need for stimulation, right? To stimulate their brains. It's physiological. So step back and think, what needs are getting met by your kids playing video games? Well, there's definitely a need for order, structure, and control, right? Because video games are the same. Every time they play, there are very clear directions, very clear consequences for how they play. So that need is met in their life. There is a need for stimulation. It is immediately stimulating and rewarding. They're getting immediate feedback from playing that game. Oh, okay, well, that makes sense. Confidence. Many of your kids are really good at video games, and so it builds their confidence. They may not be do very well in school or with behavior or other things may not come naturally to them, but boy, are they good at video games. Well, that builds my confidence. So, and then some of your kids play Xbox Live. So they're on there and they're connecting with other kids. No, not in the way we want them to connect face-to-face, but nonetheless, there's some connection happening there. So from a kid's point of view, why would I not want to play video games? It's meeting, say, four primary needs that I have, and so they're drawn to that. So here's the real win here. Think of other activities that your child, your teenager could enjoy and that he could begin doing that would meet those needs for stimulation, building confidence, getting social skills in kind of safe ways for them. What are those things? And here's something we did with Casey. And it doesn't always have to cost money. They can be free things. It can be volunteering. So one thing I did with Casey is we began as a family volunteering to feed the homeless. And so I knew that that would tap into Casey's heart, big heart. When we were downtown feeding the homeless, there was a social skills because you're working with other people who are trying to help people, and then you're talking to the homeless people, which if you ever go to talk to a lot of homeless people, you will find some very, very bright people there, very interesting people. And you're giving dignity to other human beings, not by just giving them something, but by talking with them, by learning their story, by connecting. When we do that here in Nashville, Casey runs into a bunch of guys who know how to play guitar. There's a guy down there named the Professor. He's got glasses. He is way brighter than I am. He knows physics. He knows all kinds of stuff. And he teaches Casey some things on the guitar. Well, all of a sudden, that's kind of stimulating, too. So Casey's drawn to that. He is drawn to playing his guitar and playing in blues clubs or playing with other kids. That's stimulating, provides some structure, provides confidence building. He wanted to a long time ago. He said, Dad, I want to learn how to fly an airplane. I said, good, cool, expensive. You're going to have to work. Save some money because you have to have ownership. I don't pay for everything for Casey. He always has some kind of ownership. And I would encourage that when your kids play video games, they need to do some chores. They need to work in a neighborhood. They need to set up a lemonade stand. They need to make duct tape wallets, make some money so that when they go and buy that $40, $50 video game, that they've got some skin in the game. They've got 10 bucks of it, 15 bucks of it, 20 bucks of it, because then they'll treat it differently. It's the reason we ask people to make an investment in our program. You have to have skin in the game. You value what you pay for. And so kids will value what they earn. They value what they pay for. So he said, okay, I'm up for it. And so he learned how to fly planes. He is a few hours away from getting his pilot's license. Now, I don't know how he's going to use that in the future. I don't know. I don't think he's going to use it as a career goal. It's not really, doesn't really draw him that way. But he could earn some money teaching other people how to fly planes. He could do it on the side, or he could just do it because he just loves doing it, and it could be a passion of his. I know there's a great mom who listens to the radio show all the time, and her husband is both a phenomenal cook, and he flies airplanes. And when we go to Chicago, now last time we were there, this family invited me to us to their house, and we had a phenomenal meal. And I do want to hire the husband to teach me how to cook because he was amazing. And they took Casey flying, and up in Louisville, Casey ran into a dad who flies as well. It's a great way to connect with other people. There's kind of a flying brotherhood, so to speak. Anyway, when Casey started learning how to fly airplanes, what happened? Well, all of a sudden, that's pretty stimulating. That's confidence building. You know why? Because there's a handful of people that we ever meet all across the country who can fly airplanes. Well, that builds confidence. That's stimulating. So you know what happened? As he began to do other things, you know what? Xbox looked a little bit less stimulating and interesting to him. And so gradually, he just stopped playing. And what he ended up doing is donating his video game to a children's hospital so that the kids there could play it. That's the way I would rather get your kids off video games. Here's the other question that we have. Teenagers with an attitude. We've got teenagers who are doing drugs, all kinds of other issues with drugs. And here's what I want to focus on. Yeah, it would be really good to get your kids help. Seek medical help, seek the help of a therapist, of a psychologist. But here's what the focus I really believe in with teenagers and other kids who are starting to shut down and pull away. My assumption in most cases is that there's no longer a good, trusting connection between the teenager and his parents. It is paramount. You cannot lay down the law with a teenager and have it produce good results if you do not have a connection, if you do not have trust. It will just be rules. It will just provoke defiance, and it will provoke a fight. It just will. You have every right in your home to lay down the laws of your home, to take away the keys to the car, to do anything that you want as a consequence for their behavior. You do, and you should, but it will not be effective if that relationship has broken down. For those of you who have younger kids, I would encourage you, build that connection, preserve that connection more than anything else you do. For those of you who are in the nasty teen years, if they have gotten to that, my number one goal for you would be to rebuild that trust. And the question I have for you, which I have to continually ask of myself as the father of a 17-year-old boy, is why would our kids want to spend time with us anyway? Are we always on them? Are we primarily negative? And so ask yourself, would you want to spend time with someone like you? Do I want to spend time with someone like me according to the way that I treat my teenage child? And for many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, the answer is no, because we're continually critical, we're on them, what they wear is never good enough, what they get in school is never good enough, their rooms are never clean enough, it's never good enough, wipe that smirk off your face. Everything just becomes a power struggle and negative. And the truth is, they don't want to spend time with us because I don't even want to spend time with myself when I'm like that. So what I would encourage you is, if you need to, go to a teenager and apologize to them for your attitude. I know some of you, especially the men, will think, well, this is just weak, it's going to ruin my authority. It will not. Authority does not come from your position. It does not come from puffing out your chest or being the tough guy. It comes from trust. Authority comes from our kids seeing a dad, a mom who can control themselves, okay, who are in control of themselves, who are in control of the home. It comes from them seeing an honest person. And in times in my life when I've gone to Casey and said, Casey, I apologize. I have been all over you. It is my own anxiety because I'm scared about your future. I'm scared about what I see. It is my anxiety, and I apologize for being so negative and not noticing the good things in you. Apologize. You want to break down some walls? Start apologizing. Start praising your child. Start noticing the good things. Now, I know you're going to naturally see all the negative things inside, and we can work on those, but until you have that connection with your child, nothing will change. So do that. Break the ice. Go do some things with your kids that they like doing, okay, even if it's out of your comfort zone. Some of you have kids who love video games right now, and just getting on them about it does nothing. Go into the room and you start playing video games with them. And some of you have heard this story, but it changed a dynamic in our relationship. One night when we were living back in D.C., I remember very vividly, I don't like video games. I didn't play when I was a kid. I played sports when I was outside, blah, 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 okay, to our kids. Times were different. Parents were different. Everything was different. Don't regurgitate that stuff. You just sound like an old, bitter person. So you know what I did? I walked into his room, and I sat down, and I watched the game, and I said, are you good at this? What? And he said, yeah, he was like number 48 in the rankings in the world or something. I mean, he was very good. And I said, good, you know what? I'm proud of you, because that shows me you can stick to something, and when you want to do something, you can excel at it, and you can be really good, and you have the discipline to sit here hour after hour and excel at this and get better than the other kids. And I like that quality about you, Casey. And you know what? He looked at me like I was a freak, and that I must have been like drinking or taking medication or something, because he'd never heard that from me at the time. And he said, you know what? I want to sit here. Do you mind if I sit here? Because I want to watch how you do this. I want to learn how to do this. And so he's playing Call of Duty. And I remember this time saying, hey, you know what? Casey, kill some Nazis for me. Go kill some Nazis. And so he starts killing them, and it began, it changed it from, uh-oh, here comes my dad with another lecture about how stupid video games are, and my negativity and me shaking my head, to me sitting next to him and encouraging him in something that he enjoyed doing. And from that point on, video games became less important to him, and you know what became more important? He wanted to hear what else I was proud of him doing. And so that's when, all of you know, I take them to car dealerships and we do all that stuff. Some of you have kids who love airsoft games. They're boys. They love going and playing those games where you shoot each other. I'm forgetting what it's called, the laser tag thing. Go and play with them. Share in some of their passions, and you will see them begin to change. Okay. Let's go to... Oh, homeschool issues. I got this question, homeschool issues. this came up a lot because we have a lot of people who are homeschooling. The difficulty with homeschooling is you are the parent, you are the principal, you are the teacher, you have to do everything, and it is tough. It is a tough thing to do. I would encourage you, if you have not already, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/celebratecom. I've got a question up there. I'm soliciting questions from people who homeschool saying, what are your biggest challenges? Because we have done this in the past. Casey, someone asked us this, you know, what was the decision of Casey traveling with you, all of that. We have used, because of what we do, Casey's been a guinea pig in many ways. He has been in public schools. He has been in private schools. He has been in Montessori schools. He has been homeschooled. He has been in about every different learning environment that you can be in. He has struggled in some. He has thrived in some. He has, when he started, began speaking to audiences with me a couple years ago, I gave him the decision and I said, hey, let me lay it out for you. You know what you're going to be giving up. You're going to be sacrificing some things, you're going to be getting some things, but do you want to do this? It was not a decision that anyone made for us or for him. He decided consciously and said, Dad, I'd like to do this so that I can travel with you full time. And I said, okay, let's begin looking at curriculum for you. He, by nature, is a very independent kind of kid. He is an independent learner. Is he always excited about doing his curriculum and doing his work? No, not always, but he has a vision and he has written goals, and we have learned, we use our curriculum. I use the CDs for him. He listens to them. Plus, he just knows, because we've taught it for so long, how to stimulate his brain and how to get his work done. He understands that when he goes and works out, immediately after working out, he does his most difficult work because his brain is stimulated and those neurotransmitters are connecting, and he listens to music and he plays his guitar while he does his homework, all those different things. So we'll address homeschooling more in the future, but definitely go to the Facebook page and ask your questions and leave your comments. Here we go. You know what? I want to jump into something a little bit more controversial, just because that's the way that I am and I like it. And so here was the question I got, and I get this fairly often, because one of the things that we say is that it is not my job to control the reactions and emotions of my child. My kids, my spouse, they are allowed to express their emotions. They are allowed to be upset. They are allowed to. And you have to, it's hard because I just have a few minutes here. But in the Defiance and Disrespect CDs, we talk about ways to stop defiance and disrespect. But one of the notions that I posit and that I often speak about is that my goal when I give my child a chore to do, a command to do something, is I want it done. But I don't have to have it done with a smile. My child is allowed to express, I call it initial bluster, which is the initial reaction, which it's that initial reaction of I don't want to do it, okay? I don't control that reaction because it doesn't bother me. I didn't ask him to go do his chores with a smile while he's whistling. I just asked him to do it. Does he have to be happy about it? No, because I'm not responsible for my child's happiness. I do not expect my kids, my wife, myself, to always do things that they don't like doing happily. They don't. And if you do, then I would challenge you with a few things, because I had a mom ask me this quite pointedly at a workshop, and she said, I am the parent. I expect unquestioning obedience. And the room got kind of tense, and I don't mind that, because I like to challenge. I do it with a spirit of wanting to teach and to challenge back and to challenge motives. And here's my answer to that. What is underlying that and why this mom wants that is anxiety, because she wants to teach her child, which is a good thing, teach her child that one day you're going to have a boss, and your boss is going to tell you to do things, and if you just challenge them all the time, you will not have a job anymore. So I completely understand that. I share the goal of raising kids who are responsible, who are independent, who will work well for other bosses. But I will tell you, our kids are challenging to us. But I will tell you, I've worked with 1,500 of these kids in my own home. And I will tell you, when I tell them to do things and I do it in a calm, firm manner, I get the job done, and they listen to me, and you have seen this in your kids, but here's what I really want to focus on, okay? If you demand unquestioning obedience, and because this is Sunday morning, I would tell you this, that you have higher standards than God does. And the person who asked this was a really good Christian woman, and she had been taught this, that we just do things with unquestioning obedience. And I would challenge you with this, to go search through scriptures and see God does not even demand this. And you know how you know this? Several ways. God apparently appears to Moses in a burning bush and tells Moses, you are going to go and lead my people out of Egypt. Sure, it was kind of a chore, but pretty cool. I've chosen you. You're going to go to lead my people out of bondage. How does Moses respond? Was he like, yeah, burning bush God, that's pretty cool. I'm scared. I fear. Yes, sir. Right on it. No, the first thing that Moses does is question God and start to make excuses. I can't do it. I don't speak well. And so I always imagine, what is God's response? Like, what do I have to do? I am appearing in a burning bush in the middle of nowhere. I am speaking to you. I am the God of the entire universe. I am telling you that you can do it. And still, you stand here. For it appeared to be quite a while that Moses went ahead and argued with him. Now, did God strike him down in lightning or burn him to death because he questioned him? No, because he knew that he was a frail human being, and God actually kind of gave in, and not didn't give in, but he said, okay, whatever, I'll help you out here. I'm going to give you Aaron, and I'm going to give you all these things that are going to help you. And even with that, I mean, Moses continues to question. Let's go to New Testament. Great parable. Jesus says, hey, there's this father, and he has two sons. He tells his two sons, go to the vineyard and work, which is basically, go out in the yard, rake the leaves, I need you to work. One son says, why, yes, of course, Father, I'd be pleased to go and rake the leaves. That's the kid that we want, isn't it? But he's kind of a little bit of an Eddie Haskell. And what happens? That kid says the right thing, reacts the right way, but doesn't go and rake the leaves. The second son says, not doing it. That chore's stupid, and I don't feel like doing it. That's our kids. What does that kid end up doing? He ends and goes up and does the chores. And Jesus says, who did the father's will? And the answer is the child who did the chore, not the one who reacted the right way. And in fact, there's no rebuke of the kid because he said no or because he had his initial bluster. No, he went and did the chore. So there's two examples. I would encourage you, read through the Psalms. Psalms written by King David, by other people, they're filled with whining and complaining and people crying out saying, woe is me. Now, apparently God was okay with that because he answered people in their cries. I'm just saying that God's standard may be a little bit different than yours in that. I spent a Sabbath. I celebrated a Shabbat with an Orthodox Jewish family in Baltimore. It's one of my it's one of my greatest memories and experiences ever, for many, many reasons, very profound. But one thing that they taught me and that I learned from teaching and working within their schools, Orthodox Jewish schools, is they question. They're always questioning things. And I remember sitting at dinner, the Shabbat dinner, he's like, yeah, I mean, Jacob wrestled with God. I mean, we are questioning people. So here's the deal. I don't control other people's emotions. I teach, I model my own, but I will tell you, I would encourage you, we are hypocrites as adults often in this way. This very morning, at this very moment, I know there are good parents who are driving their families to church, and they're saying some foul things in church. They're saying some mean things in church. Some of them are cursing in the car. Some of them are just getting really, really upset and saying mean things to their kids. And in less than a minute, those same parents will then turn on the happy face as they walk into that church, and they will be completely different people. And I'll challenge you with this one, because the assumption underneath here is, well, my child, if he doesn't learn how to do this, you know, when he goes and he works for someone else, then he's not going to be able to keep a job. So our assumption is, you always do the same thing at home that you will later do at work. Really? Do you do that? Do I do that? Are there not things that you do in the privacy of your home, in the privacy of your relationship with your husband, your wife, your kids, your friends, that when you get to work, you wouldn't dare do that? You know why? Because it's a different environment and you know better. So challenge yourself on that one, moms and dads. That's a good one. Think about all the other areas of life where we hold kids to standards that we don't hold ourselves to. How about think about this one. We spill something, it's a mistake. Our child spills something, they're being careless. Is that not true? And I would encourage you, if you're going to be involved in our, I don't know the right way to say this. If you're going to, I don't have any other way to say it. I challenge people. I want to be honest with myself. If you are not ready to be honest with yourself in dealings with your kids, this just isn't going to work for you. But if you are ready to be honest and really dig down in deep, then I promise you, you will change as a person. You will be transformed into something that you really, really like. We're getting ready. I'm so psyched. Tomorrow we begin our Calm Boot Camp. It's kind of an anxiety boot camp, Calm Boot Camp. And I will tell you, we're going deep with people. I'm only allowing 10 people each. It's a 5 weeks, 35 days. 10 people to go through this with me at a time. It's personal mentoring, and there's some deep stuff. I think people who signed up for this are not fully aware of how deep we're going with this, and it's going to take some real deep honesty with yourself. But I will tell you, it is so liberating. It is so freeing to know, so much of our lives are spent, just getting on our kids, and everything's just difficult. But think about that example, because I know I've done that with Casey, just dozens of things where he does it, right? Oh, great. Why can't you ever remember where you put anything? Well, when I forget something, what is it? Well, I'm really busy adult. I've got a lot going on. It's fine for me because I have an excuse for that. Is that not true? Do we not do that with our spouses? We give ourselves the benefit of the doubt, but we don't give other people the benefit of the doubt. So if you want to challenge for yourself this week, before you react to your coworker, your spouse, that person cutting in front of you in traffic, that person at the grocery store, that neighbor that annoys you, here's a really good thing to do in your mind. Think, am I giving that person the same benefit of the doubt that I give myself when I struggle? That's deep, good stuff. That's golden rule stuff. That's hey, however you want people to treat you, you start to treat them the same way. I'm telling you, when you do that with your teenagers that you're struggling with. Get inside your kids' brains. Look at it from their perspective. I should probably just stop right now and just let you meditate on that and think about that. Because if we would do that in our lives, we would stop having so many fights with people and having everything so difficult. Okay, I do need to move on, though. I'm not stopping. Here's a really good question. Let me look this up. This was from a just a really great mom that we met on the road. I think we met her in Texas. And here's the question why I'm looking that up. I am going to answer another question because I know it off the top of mind. Here's the question. Why don't you come to certain areas? Like, we've never seen you in Ohio. You're not a lot in Pennsylvania. You know, different areas. Connecticut, Massachusetts, Florida, you know, Arizona. Why don't you come there? There's a really simple answer for that. Because if you're asking that question, because you haven't set up a workshop, where we go is always dictated by enthusiastic parents and teachers who write to us, who call that 888-506-1871. Call us, tell Brett, say, I want you to come to my city, my town. We'll help you set it up. You'll notice we begin going again and again to the same areas. We're going, in fact, on Monday, what we're at Monday is in Wilmington, North Carolina. That's a small little coastal town in North Carolina, but they value what we do when they said, we want you to speak to, I believe it's somewhere between 200 and 500 teachers and parents are going to be there. And they said, we want to have you there because we know when you come, you change stuff for us. We're going to have an opportunity, which is really cool. It's a conference on Monday. I think there'll be about 40 or 50 different schools represented. Well, we're going to give teachers and parents tools to take back into these 40 or 50 schools. That's huge. We're going to impact thousands of students this way. And you know what? It doesn't even cost all that much compared to the impact that we're going to have. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, we're back in Atlanta. Well, why do we go to Atlanta so much? Because when we go somewhere, people come to the workshops and they're like, that is way cool. We want to have you back. And it spreads. So many of you are going to be getting emails this week saying, hey, we've got some opportunities in these different cities, but I just need you to pick up the phone and call. And I need you to do a little bit of groundwork. It's not all that hard to get three PTAs to get together, and you each raise a little bit of money or take your funds, and then we sponsor a community-wide event. And one of the objections we get is, well, when we do parent things, we usually get 30 or 40 parents show up. I guarantee you we will quadruple that easily. If we have some time, we're getting 150 to 200 parents coming out. Sometimes it's 300 teachers. Spur of the moment, and last time we were in North Carolina, we had three schools go together, spur of the moment, and there were 225 people came out. So anyway, come out next week where we are. If you're listening, I have opportunities in Philadelphia coming up, in Charlotte, North Carolina, Maryland, which is where I grew up, Maryland, Baltimore area, Long Island, Atlanta, North Carolina, and then into April, Minnesota, Michigan. We haven't been there forever. I miss Michigan. I love Michigan. Alabama, Tennessee, my new home state, New Jersey. New York State is odd. We're all around New York, Long Island, but New York State, Connecticut, Missouri, Iowa. I want to come back to Iowa. I love Iowa. The people there are so nice. Anyway, call us. It's really cool how this all works. So anyway, here's the question from this nice mom. She says, hey, when my daughter's melting down, she'll talk negatively. She can't do simple things like homework. And Everything else I've done, kind of talking, doesn't really work to her. And so I know she's not trying. Well, one thing is, if I tell her X, Y, and Z, she gets upset and she's just not trying. No, when your kid's upset, there's no way that they're going to process information correctly. So it's not about trying. It's about calming her down, get her to do a physical activity, helps a lot. But here's what I wanted to get to. Sometimes if she goes up to her room or somewhere alone, she manages to get her homework done. She gets it together, and I think she feels more confident because she did it, but I hate to send her off by herself because then I've lost that chance for interaction. Here's my quick answer to that. By all means, let her go off by herself. Many of our kids are such independent workers. That's a great thing. I love going off and working by myself. Casey does too. I also love going and working by myself, but working at a Panera Bread or a Starbucks or a Barnes & Noble because I like being around. I like the energy of a lot of people. But there's nothing wrong with your kids wanting their own time. They very much like that. So by all means, do that when she's done, because now she's going to get her homework done. When she comes down, now go for that connection. But now you can connect over something positive, do something physical with her, cook with her, do something together. And so if she does her homework by herself, by all means, take advantage of that. That's a wonderful thing. Some other things. Here's one we get a lot. Here we go. My child loves to cook, but he doesn't like to clean. Well, good. I like to cook, and I don't like to clean up either. It's normal. It's normal. And you will find this pattern in your kids. Of course, they love to do the fun stuff, but they don't want to clean. Casey will wash the car, but he doesn't like to put up the hose, and he doesn't like to put away all the stuff and everything. That's human nature. But here's what I would say to this person who wrote in and says, yeah, I'd like to get my son cooking, but he doesn't like to clean up. Cook with him, clean with him. Clean kind of with him, but get him a job cooking somewhere, like a volunteer thing, like cooking in a senior center. Cooking in a homeless shelter, that's a great place to do that. You know why? Because what you'll see is this. Other adults will get your child to clean up, and you'll begin to see when they need to, when they have to, they can clean up. And it takes away some of the anxiety of it. I would just tell you, start praising for the positives. Start praising. Start at the beginning with praise for the positives and the fact that they did cook your family meal. And don't be 100% focused on, yeah, it would be really nice if you learned to clean up. Show them, do it with them. As time goes on, they will do the bad stuff, the ugly stuff, the unfun stuff too. Just don't allow yourself to be so consumed with it being 100% right away and being anxious about, well, if you can't do both parts of it, it's not. It will come. It will come. Just relax with that. I've got kids who are really into music, but they're listening to like ugly, nasty music, right? Stuff that you don't like, stuff that may be a little dark or something. How do I encourage them to play their guitar, to get involved in music? You know, one good thing to do is many of you go to churches where they've got someone who runs a soundboard who maybe records the message and then puts it on a CD. Get somebody at church. Usually it's a guy who runs the soundboard, not always, but get the guy or the girl at the soundboard to go up and talk to your son or your daughter and say, hey, I've heard you're really good with guitar, which means you're probably really good with sound. So here's what I need you to do. I want you to come in here. I want to teach you how to run sound at the church. I want you to help out with that. And you get someone, you get them doing grown-up jobs. You get an adult teaching and mentoring them how to do it. What will end up happening is now you have your son, and now he's at church, and he's learning how to run the soundboard. And while he's doing it, he's probably hearing the sermon a little bit more than he does if he's just sitting. He's learning actually a really good skill, which is how to run sound, which he could be a sound engineer if that's what he wants to do later in life. It's a very specific skill. I know from working with those people, they can make a very good living. I mean, I know guys who are making $60,000 a year mixing sounds, learning how to do that. Some of them make less, obviously, when they're starting out. Some of them make a lot more. especially here in Nashville, but it's a great skill to have. And you get them doing something in their area of passion. Some of these kids then, because they have to work with worship band or praise band or whatever it is that's on the stage, you know, they eventually, the guy on stage will say, hey, you know, we could use an extra guitar up here. You want to come up and play? And you get them involved doing that. So great way for that to happen. Here's a good question. Hey, we're doing the calm thing and everything, but my child, it seems like they miss that intensity. I'm like, yeah, they need the intensity. So just being calm, okay, just being calm when my kids are upset. I don't want to ignore them at all. What I'm doing is I'm calming myself down, and I'm giving them the intensity, but watch how this is different. Right now, here's how I give the intensity. Why do you always have to do this? How many times have I told you, stop, you better stop this right now, or I'm taking away all your video games? See where our intensity is? Our kids are used to getting our intensity, and to be quite honest, they love that intensity. Casey's an intensity freak. He wants it from me. And if I don't give it to him in a positive way, he will seek it from us in a negative way. So when I'm being calm, what I'm doing is I'm controlling my anxiety. I'm controlling myself so that I can see a situation clearly. Then I now respond with that same intensity I was giving to the negativity, I'm giving to problem solving. I'm giving to praising. Here's another goal for you this week is every time you're about to say something negative to your child, use that same intensity and say, you know what? I know you struggle with following directions, but that's because you're a leader. And I know that you don't always want to wait because you've got initiative and you're going to be a leader and you're a problem solver. And I love that. I love those qualities in you. And my intensity with my kids, instead of my intensity going toward punishing, it goes toward, sorry, Casey just texted me something from the church where he is, which is kind of funny. It's about his passion. It's about cars. Casey's intensity is with cars. So when I go with a car thing with him, I give him the intensity here. I want to engage in problem solving, right? And I want to put as much energy into problem solving as I do in punishing my kids or in giving consequences and saying, you know what? I get it that you're upset right now. I understand that. Now, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. I'm not. I don't fight with you. But I'm going to go outside and I'm going to go play with the dogs. If you want to come outside with me and you want to problem solve and figure out a way to earn some money so that you can go to Best Buy and buy the new video games, I am all over that, and I'll give you my intensity in problem solving, but I'm not going to give you the intensity in fighting. So you choose where you get the intensity. That's pretty cool when you can do that. So I encourage you. We show you how to do that. By all means, the Defiant CDs are really good for that. I mean, anxiety boot camp thing, really good for that. Okay. 6-year-old grandson, father is being deployed to Iraq. And so the child's having a lot of behavior issues at school because of this anxiety of all these things. Gosh, I wish I had more time to do this. Let me try to get to this next week, but I would tell you, create some anchors and traditions in the schedule. I think I'm going to do a newsletter on this this week. Some things that the child that do remain consistent. Whenever things get ripped away from your child, the consistency in some areas, whether it's through divorce, parent being deployed to Iraq, make sure there's a lot of stability and consistency, some traditions in the home, some anchors, things that there are always that are always the same at school and at home. Give this child some jobs to do, some responsibilities at school, so every day when he comes home, he knows, or that when he comes into class, there's certain things that he has to do. Have him do show and tell with things with his dad. It's a way to connect with his dad while he's away, so he can bring pictures and stories of his dad there, and we can do that. So. Final thing, I wanted to get to this, getting in fights over wearing the coat to school. I know parents will say, I know, but they need to wear their coat because they need to, you know, they're going to catch cold. But I'm telling you, these coat fights over coats and clothes are 90% parental anxiety. It is your anxiety. It is usually unrealistic expectations. It came from your parents. And I would tell you, give your kids some ownership. If they don't wear their coat and they get cold, you know what's going to happen? They're going to go get someone else's coat, or they're going to finally come home and say, Mom, I was freezing. I need to wear my coat. But don't worry about it. If you're getting over fights with this thing, please, 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 please get control of your own anxiety. Everybody, have a good week. Hope we'll see you soon. Love you all. Take care, and have a really great week. Bye-bye.